Welcome to the Grow Your Law Firm podcast, brought to you by Pilma. This podcast helps lead lawyers to more growth, profit, and freedom. Here is your legal marketing expert and host, Ken Hardison.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Ken Hardison, and welcome to another episode of Grow Your Law Firm. And today we have the privilege and honor of having Eric Morgan, who has a rich background of over 25 years of media strategy planning and buying experience in offline, online, non-traditional promotional advertising tactics. He's represented people like Bart, who's like, if I remember correctly, Eric, he's in one of like the top five in the nation as far as advertising lawyers.
Yes.
Frank Diazar, who is like another whale, another 800-pound gorilla. So you've worked with some of the big guys. And I know you, not only them, but I know some of our PIMA members you're representing and doing a good job for. And for that, I appreciate that. And pretty much you've been around the business. You know what you're doing. You're from New Orleans. You're going to be one of our speakers at the summit. I'm looking forward to that. We're going to touch on that just a little bit. But I really want to, I talked to you before we started today, and I want to talk to you about three or four really main things that I'm getting. There's a lot of discussion in our PILMA's mastermind. We just got through doing it in San Diego about 3 weeks ago. And I like to hit what's hot. And I can tell what's hot by what people are asking, right? You can tell what's on people's mind, right? That's part of marketing. You enter into the conversation that's on their mind. And what I'm hearing right now here, what's on lawyers' minds are three or four things that I want to pick your brain on because you've got a vast, knowledge of this stuff and I want to pick your brain. So attribution, where cases come from. You know, I've always been a big proponent and I still am knowing, you know, where your cases are coming from, you know. I was so anal about it when I had my law firm. If somebody didn't put how they did it, where they hear about us, what they were looking at when they called, I made them go back and call them. I made the intake people go back and call that person at the end of the day. And that kept them from, that made them do it because, mm-hmm. you know, about three times of that, you're going to do it. But I'm telling you, with everything, it's different than it was 20 years ago when I was doing this. There's 500 TV stations, there's this, there's digital, there's internet, there's social media, there's a deal. Is it possible or have we reached a point in time, Eric, where it's just not feasible to really, attribute where a case came from, really, in reality?
Yeah, so thank you very much for having me on, Ken. And I really like doing this. I really get excited just about talking shop and sharing what I know, what I see with the brands we're working with, both in the legal space, but also in the non-legal. We have a couple other verticals that we're pretty deep in. But, you know, regards to attribution, this is, you know, when you look at the big ad agencies around the country and even the consulting firms that have the McKinsey's and so forth, the Accentures, who've gotten into the marketing space, this is one of the biggest areas that they are wrestling with, and the brands themselves are wrestling with it, in that back in the day when, you know, we didn't have 500 stations and we only had, you know, a couple of newspapers and so forth, you had a better chance of pinpointing where things came from. And today, because people get information from so many different areas and they've got, you know, this thing in their pocket that can literally hand them the world of information, it's very hard to kind of synthesize it and boil it down to say this one thing drove a call, which converted to a case that ended up being a valuable case for the firm. And even if, you know, you could say that last touch attribution is what they call it, that's a pretty common, you know, a methodology, but it's just not accurate. You know, even when you do that, because you ask them to, well, call them back, find out how they heard about us. You know, it's not always true. A couple of reasons. One, you know, consumers just don't like to say that advertising worked on them, you know, so they're not 100% accurate. But the reality is that it's often cases, it's not one thing, because you talk about attribution, but we also talk about brand. We also talk about, you know, the competitive set in the industry. And you talk about, you know, owned media. You know, these are you know, signs on your front door as your people are driving down the street so that people know about you, or earned media because you did some goodwill in the community and you got some article or press about it, and then paid media, which, you know, ad campaigns. So there's so many variables at play with even a smaller marketing outreach effort, because people are doing a few things, all the way to the big guys that are doing a whole bunch of things, that it's hard to pinpoint that one thing. But what I always like to say is, it's kind of in, you know, you hinted, you touched on that. I'm from New Orleans, and I'm going to use the gumbo reference, but you know, you put a bunch of ingredients into something and you get a taste and you get a response out of it. And marketing is just like that. You're going to have things that you're doing. You're doing goodwill. You're going to be advertising. You're going to be out in the community, shaking hands, handing out backpacks for school or toys for tots, and involved in various things. All of these things work. So the short answer is, attribution is incredibly difficult, because if you're doing marketing right and you're really aggressive at it, there are so many things and it's hard to pinpoint. But what you can pinpoint is, if you have the discipline to pay attention to what you do week in and week out and look back and say, what were we doing last week and what's new and why did we get that spike in calls? You can start pinpointing, wow, when we add more billboards or when we add more TV or when we put new creative into the mix, and the creative is this type of concept from a messaging standpoint, you can start seeing the reactions that the consumers have and the phone calls that come in. And so, yes, there is a way to do it. It's not incredibly easy. Honestly, it's very challenging, which is why, you know, the McDonald's and the Walmarts and the whoever's, General Motors, have a lot of very smart scientists trying to figure this out. But, you know, there is a way to do it and to say, when I run these certain things, I know that my calls are going to go up and I know that I'm going to convert X number of cases, X percentage of cases, and that these are going to be a good quality. And that's what you're striving to do. That's what marketing is all about, is studying what's working, tinkering with it, constantly doing these tests, whether that's creative, whether that's community outreach, whether that's paid media, and then replicating those things that work really well. So it's like fishing. You go out, try different baits, you try different spots, you try different tides, the wind directions, you're on the windward side, the leeward side of islands. You got to keep testing it. And so it's a work in progress, but there are tremendous dividends, because you'll see the spark that I call it a spark. You'll see the spark and you're like, okay, I'm onto something. Calls are coming in. These are good cases. I'm getting a good conversion rate. And that's when you know that you've got that mixture and that recipe correct.
So we were talking earlier, when I started marketing, when I started doing the big time paid search that went on TV in like 96, 97, my phone's rung off the hook right to begin with. Now, in talking with my lawyers, some of them have gone into TV in the last year or two, and they're just not seeing it happen that quickly. And my question to you is twofold. Number one is you know, I've always been told, and I don't know if this is true, but I've always been told, if you're not into like the top three in your market on the spin on TV, it's better off not to do it. I don't know if I agree with that, but that's what I've always been told. And then secondly, if I am even able to get in the top three, what should I expect? I mean, what I hear is I'm not going to get that immediate response that I did back in 20 something years ago. It's not going to happen.
Right. So, yeah, you know, we've had several clients over the last couple of years, and, you know, just what you said, it was a matter of a couple of weeks where that spark, and the spark was significant. We knew that we were onto it, and it's just not there like it used to be. And it's very challenging. And this is, you know, we talk about, I'm going to be speaking in June here in New Orleans. And one thing I'm going to talk about is just mental approach and the mental wherewithal about this, because there's a lot of hesitation in this. So going to your comment about being in the top three or not doing it at all, you know, I don't necessarily agree with that, because we have a lot of clients that are successful, but they are not in the top three when it comes to something like a TV spend. And that's by design, honestly. It part of what we do with a client who wants to jump in to that is we look at the market. We look at their brand, we look at what the value is and how we're going to approach the market for their audience and say, look, you know, and this gets kind of business conversation. This is, you know, I'm a marketing guy, I'm an advertising guy. And so they're a little kind of thrown aback a little bit, but they enjoy it, that I'm going to start talking about business strategy in terms of how much do you want to do? How much do you want to set your cost per case at? Now, yes, everybody wants to pay $500 cost per case. That's not there anymore. We have a couple that are still there, but it's most markets are very tough. But let's be honest, you know, cost per case of $1,000, $1,500, great. Then what's the volume that that firm can handle? All right. So there's a couple of variables that go into this equation. So, you know, we can't turn this faucet on and nobody answer the phone and nobody be there to deal with these clients and sign them up. So a couple of conversations go into place. And then when we figure out what the volume is, what the cost per case is, we start working backwards from how much are we going to spend? What do we think that return on the investment is going to be? And we do run what we call predictive models, meaning in this market, we're going to invest X amount. This is the kind of creative concepts that we're going to run. We anticipate getting this return, this many calls, this many are going to turn into cases, and then this is going to be your cost per case. Can you make a business out of that? And our client, he or she, will ultimately say yes or no. And then we go from there. And so it's really a business kind of conversation to say, where are we going to get into that market? We've had plenty of calls, clients that just say, I want to be here. And we're like, great, we're going to find the number five spot or the number three spot. And that's where they live and they're comfortable with it. I mean, we have one that's been in that very comfortable three, four spot. And that firm makes money. That firm gets cases. That firm is added lawyers. They love it. And that's where they want to be. And it's a good sized firm. So you don't need to be number one, number two, or number three. You can do it at a smaller scale. You just need to do it right. And the business model of it needs to work for you. So yeah, I'm an ad guy, but these are the kind of things, because we want to set expectations and say, law firm, attorney, are you okay with $1,500 cost per case? Because they're going to come in and you're going to earn $5,000, $6,000 off of it. That sounds like a business model that works and we can get you there. So it's not a loud, who screams the loudest kind of share a voice mentality, but it's a, let's find your niche among the competitors. And you have to be standing out from a brand standpoint and say, I am number five in the market in terms of spending, but I'm unique and I'm different. And I've got some value that I'm clearly conveying in my messaging and people get it. It resonates with people and that's going to make the phones ring. So yes, completely doable business model. Tons of them are doing it. We're helping clients do it right now. And I think it's great because it allows people who don't have the financial wherewithal to go and outspend the number one, because after a while, it's just throwing, you know, good money after bad. And that's the whole, you know, let's work smarter, not harder kind of mentality.
Yeah. And what I found here when I was doing it, what happened was I was like number two at that time. And the number one guy got in like a $30 million fee or something. And he went and doubled his spend the next year. And it shocked me. I mean, I'm not going to lie about it. I said, how am I going to deal with this? Instead of just trying to go toe-to-toe with him, I said, no, I'm going to do this a little bit more strategically. And I raised my spend $10,000 and did it for like 3 months and then with another 10,000, you know, and I got the point. I was keeping back then. You could actually do good attribution, right?
Yep.
And we had tracking numbers, all that kind of stuff. And I found where I got to a spot where I was getting more cases, but the cost per case was getting outrageous. And I said, and I backed it back down and I said, this is where I'm going to be because this makes good business sense.
There's no doubt there is a diminishing return because we have worked with firms over the years who just wanted to spend to be number one. And the business model just, it's black and white. It just wasn't there. But that was their strategy. And we expressed our concern and disagreement with it. But ultimately, they're the boss. And that's the method that they wanted to do. But the numbers just made zero sense. And so when you see somebody dumping an enormous amount of money in a market and you're scratching your head going, I can't see how they're making it all work and their cost per case can't be that great. It's not. It's just, I've seen it firsthand. It is not. And their cost per case is astronomical. It's insanity, honestly. And so to your point, if you add a little bit, yes, you can. get better cases, get more cases. But there's a point where it's a diminishing return. Yeah. And the number one and number two guys, I mean, it's not worth it in some markets. You have to try it and experiment and see where how far you can push it. But in a lot of cases, being number one or number two does not pay the dividends. Brands there, yes, but there's only so much return you're going to generate out of it. So I'm cautious about that with people. And we go through these conversations just like this, and because there's good reason to be concerned.
So let me ask you this, because I don't want to talk about reach and frequency on TV. Do you have like a guide? Like, you know, I used to hear, you know, you want to reach, and you can explain this to, because you'll do it a lot more eloquently than I will, but the reach was get as much as you can with the dollars, but then the big deal was the frequency of how many times your average viewer would see you per week or per month or whatever. And is there a certain, when you get me seeing too much, where people get sick of you, or is there a sweet spot, I guess? This episode is brought to you by Pilma Super Summit. June the 27th through the 29th, you can come and learn how to take your law firm to the next level in New Orleans at the fabulous Ritz-Carlton Hotel. Go to pilma.org/summit.
So, you know, this might throw you a curveball a little bit, but so, you know, I run an ad agency, right? And we use reach and frequency a lot for our healthcare and our tourism clients. We, truth be told, do not use reach and frequency much at all in conversation with our clients. They even, you know, some that are well-known have been around forever. It's just not part of our vernacular when it comes to this. Now, it matters, you know, brand awareness, getting as many eyeballs, reach, and frequency, obviously, are part of the equation. But we don't have magic numbers, honestly. We are looking at the volume that we are buying for, you know, TV. Let's talk TV for a minute. We are looking at the volumes. And so where frequency comes into play is, quite honestly, creative. And again, I'm a media guy by training, but creative. And the more you're going to run, yes, you're going to get frequency and frequency, and you're going to get, you know, that acknowledgement in the competitive set and people's decision-making process. But the more frequency, you're actually going to get a wear out factor. How is your creative wearing out? How quickly will it last? Or does it have a shelf life? Does it have an expiration date? And so, you know, the frequency, we're not keeping an eye on it too much. My buyers are a little bit, but it's not something where I say, well, we need a 7.5%, you know, frequency and this much reach and 65% reach against, you know, audience 18 plus or audience 35 plus. Not for this industry. We're more looking at quality of networks, quality of programming, competitive, you know, share of voice, competitive separation among the programs that we're buying in. And then given the volume and the amount of spots we're buying, you know, creative, let's have that conversation. You know, are we going to turn people off because there's too much spots, too many spots out there?
Yeah. I've heard people told me, you know, I can't remember, it's been years ago, he said, if you get over a 10 frequency, you're going to start pissing people off. I guess the deal is that, you know, that you're just sounding the airwaves. Let me ask you one more thing. With all this fragmentation and these cord cutters and people, you know, recording everything, I've had some lawyers tell me that they've gone more towards news programs and even some sports programs, but news more because people tend to watch that live versus watching it, you know, on streaming or watching a recording of it, DVR in it or whatever. What do you think about that? Do you think that's not really a big deal either way?
Well, I think it plays, the whole live versus streaming is a legitimate conversation. What I am concerned about a little bit is the sports and the news. Watching, you know, being in a live program, those are premium programs and you're paying for them. And it's going to impact your cost per case ultimately. And so that's a big concern from our standpoint, because we have not seen the return on investment that justifies that premium. Because if you're buying football, you're buying sports, and we're this weekend we have the NCAA Final Four here in New Orleans. You know, you're buying those kind of programs. that's a pretty penny that you're spending on that. And I just, we have not seen, you know, the news, the 5, 6 p.m. news and the 10, 11 p.m. news produce the calls and produce the return that we can justify the investment. And so we're not big fans of it, honestly, just to you know, share some trade secrets.
And that's why I'm asking, because that's the stuff that we talked about in the mastermind. We got some guys that really think it is, and then we had others arguing, just like you, hey, it costs too much, it's overpriced, da-da-da, you know.
It's one of those things that, you know, if somebody's really engaged in a live sporting event, you know, I don't watch a lot of sports. I watch a lot of football, you know, because of, you know, my home team, Saints and LSU Tigers. The last thing I'm going to do is get up and make a phone call during that. You know, and the idea that I'm going to remember it later and do it, probably not. And what's going to happen is I'm going to see an ad at another day or another time that's going to trigger and remind me. Well, odds are I was going to see that other ad at another time anyway, and the brand didn't need to spend, you know, the $1,500 to run in, you know, a Saints game or an LSU game. In terms of the streaming, live versus streaming and cord cutters, clearly that's a big thing. Clearly, the pandemic and all that shifted people's usage a lot more. You know, we are running in streaming, OTT, and CTV type environments. There's some pros and cons to them. The pros are, obviously, it's a shift to where some people are going. The cons are, you got to be careful with what properties you go with. You know, the Hulus of the world, they're premium, they're expensive, and not, you know, your typical automotive client, personal injury attorney client, is less likely to be subscribing to a Hulu. And we have a lot of clients that come to us and say, what about Hulu? What about Hulu? I'm like, all right, concept's right. Hulu brand is probably not the right fit, but maybe let's look at, you know, some of these other platforms like a Pluto or Crackle TV, which make more sense from an audience standpoint, because it's just, it more aligns with the viewership, the audience of the law firm. The downside, though, is that you are paying a premium, and most people think, oh, it's digital, so, you know, click the call. Well, some of these things, if you're streaming or over the top TV, you can't click them, you know, so you're not going to get there. You know, they're going to have to pick up a phone just like a normal TV spot. So it's a hit and miss depending upon the brand and the platform you're going with, but it can work well. It can actually play a role from just a branding standpoint as well. It might not get the immediate phone call out of it, but it can do a branding play.
We've had a lot of members that have tried OTT with not much success, to be honest with you. And I don't know why, because you would think maybe they're, like you said, they're on their own streaming deal, because that's, you would think it would do. And I'm seeing this stuff on TV, and I don't quite get it, but they're putting these QR codes on these TV shows, for especially on the live streaming stuff, for you to take a picture of it and go to it. But I mean, it's, I guess somebody smart enough to figure out it works, but I just, for me, just the old country boy from North Carolina, it seems stupid. I don't know. I mean, what are you hearing about this?
With the QR code, you know, the QR code is a very funny story with the pandemic, because we all started using them at restaurants and things like that because they weren't handed out. And the funny thing is that the pandemic, as unfortunate as that was or is, I guess we're sort of still in it, is the pandemic actually gave some life back into the QR code. The reality is the QR code is over 20 years old. And it never really grasped on. I mean, I read somewhere about a year ago, says the QR code's old enough to vote and to go to war and drink a beer. And it just never grasped, you know, it never got a whole grasp on consumers in general. It serves a purpose in some places. You know, it's great at conferences and networking, but not for a drop everything in the middle of your day and use this. And so I'm not a big fan of it, honestly. It has some comforts and functionality and conveniences, but it's never been there.
Yeah. So two things, and then we'll finish up. What's the title? What are you going to be talking about? I don't want you to give away the whole deal, but give us a little teaser on what you're going to be talking about down in New Orleans on June the 27th through 29th.
We're excited. I'm excited about it. So my title is The Marketer's Checklist. And, you know, as you and I have been chatting here for 30, 40 minutes or so, and you've been asking questions and picking my brain, that's exactly what I'm trying to do, is go through a campaign, go through a scenario, all the way from brand position strategy to optimizing and reporting, and give the audience a perspective of exactly what we as an ad agency, as a marketing agency, and my team go through from start to finish when we're starting a initial conversation with a client about a campaign, all the way to completion, and say, these are the things that we go through. These are the things we're looking for. And some of them are, you know, how to start off on the right foot, how to anticipate certain things. And some of them are about, you know, once you're live and once you're running, what should you be looking for? How often should you be looking at it? What are the dials and levers that you can adjust on the fly, that we adjust on a, you know, daily, weekly basis to get the most performance out of it? I'm hoping that the takeaway are, one, to see what all the things that go into it, and two, that it might educate some people on a little bit of, you know, one or two things that they can do differently or be more educated about, or just exposed to that. Oh, I never even thought about that. And of course, you know, when I get through the presentation, I'm going to be sticking around. We'll have a booth there, and some of my people from my team, happy to go into as much detail about any of these things, because it's really hard to go through an entire checklist in great detail in, you know, 45, 50 minutes or however much time I have. But I love talking about this stuff, so I'm happy to stick around. But I think it's going to be good. I think, you know, it's going to give people a brief checklist to say, these are the things that I want to make sure are covered. And hopefully they can take this physical checklist back and say, okay, team, we need to divide this up and conquer it. And I need people to be focused on these five items, that each five items are going to be broken out into three or four sub items.
Eric, you've gotten rave reviews, because, you know, we take people rate our speakers. You always come back with great reviews. So I know it's going to be another good one, and that's why we wanted you back. And that's June the 27th through the 29th. For those people out there listening, you need to go ahead. We sell out pretty much every year, and it's in a great city with a lot of good food.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of gambling and a lot of damn music. Yeah.
City's looking good, too. We're ready.
Yeah, well, I'm ready to get back. I mean, I've really missed it. We've been gone for too long. So in closing, is there anything out there that our listeners or viewers that do PI law or do marketing law firms need to be watching out for the rest of the year? Anything they need to be paying close attention to or watch out for? And it might not be.
You know, I always tell people that the biggest, they have a lot of questions. We get a ton of questions. And just like you do in your mastermind groups, you know, it's what's the hot topic du jour. And I tell people, majority of the questions can come back to brand and strategy. In that, if you're talking about, well, who's my audience? Well, you know, your brand stands for something. Who does that resonate with? You know, should I be on TV? Should I be worried about, you know, my competitors because they're on TV, they're heavy enough on Facebook? I'm like, what's your strategy? You know, let's not be knee-jerk reaction here. Let's think about what the strategy is. And they're on Facebook because that's right for their strategy. You know, you're not going to win a race by following somebody. You have to outsmart them and cut them off. So I keep telling people, and you know, it's brand and it's strategy. And just do some soul searching. Think about what your law firm stands for, how you can differentiate yourself, and then carry that torch with, you know, the best resources that you have and make the most of it. And I promise you, it does work. And it gets easier. When you know what your brand is and you know what your strategy is, you know that you should or should not be buying billboards. You should or should not be involved in this community event. And it just gets so much more easier and more fun.
Good deal. Well, thank you so much. If you will hang around 1 second after we get through here today, I got one more question to ask you that as far as the summit. But yes. Anyway, thank you so much. If people want to get in contact with you, how can they do it, Eric?
Go to morganandco.com. We've got a ton of information there, and we've got over 200 blogs that we were writing every week, and just some of them are specifically in the legal world. So a ton of information. So morganandco.com.
All right. Good deal. And look forward to seeing you in New Orleans, by the way.
Excited.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Until the next time, this is Ken Hardison, dedicated to your success.
You have been listening to the Grow Your Law Firm podcast, the podcast that leads lawyers to more growth, profit, and freedom. Go to growyourlawfirm.com to find more ways to market and manage your law firm. Please leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcasts.